all you had was the Old Testament and you wanted to present the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, where would you turn? Probably most of us would think Isaiah 53. And I would ask you to turn with me to Isaiah 53. Our time around the table is in remembrance of Christ. So I'm not going to be sharing anything new this evening. I'm going to be sharing those things which we are to remember as we consider our Savior's sacrifice in our behalf. We're familiar with Isaiah 53. The first four verses really deal with the life of Christ. Verses 5 through 8 refer to his death, his substitutionary sacrifice. Verse 9 is really his burial. Verses 10 through 12 is his resurrection. So we have his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Tonight we just want to look at verses 5 through 8, the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ in his death. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as the lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Let's bow in prayer. Fathers, we would consider these verses this evening in remembrance of our Savior's substitutionary sacrifice. I pray that we would once again come to you in humility, praising you for the salvation that we have in Christ, praising you for his shed blood in our behalf for the forgiveness of our sins, praising you for his body that hung upon the cross again as our substitute. We are reminded of your great love for us. We thank you, Father, that we are able to gather around this table tonight. It's been a while because of the things going on around us, and yet we rejoice in this opportunity this evening. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 5 begins with the word but, and it's denoting a contrast. In the verses prior to verse 5, especially verses 3 and 4, it talks about, as I said, talks really about his life. And it says that we as man despised him, we rejected him, we did not esteem him in verse 3. Then in verse 4 it says we actually did consider him being smitten of God and afflicted, that he was getting what he deserved because he was such a sinner. He was in such rebellion against God that God had to smite him. And so man rejected him, man despised him, man did not esteem him. We actually believe that God was smiting him because of his own sin. But, verse 5 says, in contrast to what man thought, the reality was he was wounded for our transgressions. The word wounded, and perhaps your translation even translates it this way, but it means to pierce through. He was pierced through for our transgressions. Really quite fascinating that prophecy is given concerning the death of Christ. We recognize that being pierced through is certainly a good description of crucifixion. But Isaiah didn't know anything about crucifixion. Crucifixion didn't come till later. And yet the precision of prophecy, as Isaiah mentions that Christ would be pierced through. And that word referring to being pierced through is usually used in a fatal context. Pierced through, and it would be fatal, that piercing. And certainly Christ was pierced through. He was pierced through with the crown of thorns upon his head. And as they took then a reed and drove those thorns into his skull, he was pierced through. His hands and feet were pierced through with the nails. The sword being pierced into his side. He was pierced through, and he was pierced through for our transgressions. The word for there is where we get this idea of substitution. He was pierced through because of our transgressions, on account of our transgressions. It was our transgressions for which he was pierced through. So he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The word bruised here is the word crushed. And I believe it's referring here to the, not so much the physical was being pierced through, the emotional and spiritual crushing that he experienced upon the cross. He was crushed under the load of our sin. He was crushed under the load of our transgressions. It says he was bruised for our iniquities. It was our iniquities that was placed upon him. The word iniquities is a word that combines the thought of sin, guilt, and punishment all into one word. He was crushed under the load of our sin. But not just our sin, but the guilt of our sin. He experienced that guilt. And he was crushed under the load of the punishment for those sins. Our sin was placed upon him. He became guilty for our sin, and therefore he had to take the punishment for our sin. And he was crushed under that load, emotionally, spiritually. He was crushed for our iniquities. Those two words that pierced through and crushed in the Hebrew, they're very strong words that refer to a very violent death. He was chastised for our peace. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. He was chastised, he was disciplined, he was punished to procure our peace. We were at enmity with God. Romans chapter 5 emphasizes that. While we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. We were at enmity with God. We were not at peace with him. The sin barrier kept us from having peace with God. But it says here that Christ was chastised. He was punished to procure our peace, to remove the barrier of sin that was causing enmity so that we might have peace with God. Romans chapter 5 emphasizes that peace with God. And we've said many times that that word with is a word that comes from the word face. It's peace face to face with God. We are at enmity with him. There was a barrier. We couldn't come face to face with God because of our sin, but Christ procured our peace by taking our punishment so that we could have peace face to face with God. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was chastised for our peace. He was striped for our healing. With his stripes we were healed. The word stripes here is referring to the stripes or the welts that are caused by scourging. And we know that Christ was indeed scourged. He was whipped. And it is because of his scourging, it says, that we are healed. Some of our charismatic friends would want to take that word healing and apply it to our physical diseases, that Christ died so that we could be physically healed, and that even in a pandemic, if you get COVID-19, it's because you don't have enough faith, because Christ died so that you wouldn't have that sickness. Or if you do get that sickness, you can have enough faith, and Christ died so that you could get over that sickness. And they use this word healed here. That's not what it's talking about. We're talking about his death here and in the healing for our spiritual sickness, our transgressions, our iniquities that are mentioned here in this context. Not talking about our physical healing, talking about our spiritual healing. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We needed to be healed from our spiritual sickness. It is true that in verse 4, it says he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And in Matthew quotes verse 4 and says it is fulfillment of, or when Christ was healing people in their physical sickness, Matthew quotes verse 4 and says that in the healing of those physical sickness, Isaiah 53:4 was fulfilled. Again, remember I said verses 1 through 4 are really talking about his life. So verse 4, when it says he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, it is talking about Christ in his life healing people physically as he bore their sicknesses and their illnesses. And the words griefs and sorrows there can be translated sickness and disease. In his life, he did heal sicknesses and diseases. But now in verses 5 through 8, we're talking about his death. And his death was for our spiritual sickness, our transgressions and our iniquities. Now, it certainly is true that in death, as he gives us victory over sin, and ultimately in heaven, victory over the very presence of sin, there will be no more sickness. There will be no more disease. And so certainly in that sense, we have that healing as well. But verse 5 is emphasizing our spiritual need. Verse 6 talks about the condition of man. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All we like sheep. The universality of our sinfulness. We are all sinners. We talked a couple of weeks ago about what's it mean, total depravity. And one of the things that I believe total depravity is referring to is the totality of our sinfulness. It applies to all men, all humans. We are all born sinners, all we like sheep. In fact, verse 6 starts with the word all and ends with the word all. All we like sheep, the iniquity of us all, the universality of our sinfulness. All we like sheep have gone astray. The word astray here is the word to wander or even to stagger. It's actually used with reference to one who is drunk, who's wandering, doesn't know where he is, where he's going, he's staggering, doesn't know how to stand upright. That's the description of all of us in our sinfulness. We're going astray, we're staggering. We have no idea where we are, we have no idea where we're going. We can't even stand on our own spiritually. We've gone astray. We've wandered. We've turned everyone to his own way. Our sins may differ. The number of our sins may differ. But when it comes right down to it, all of us are alike in our sinfulness. We go our own way in our selfishness. That's really the similarity that we all have when it comes. Again, the number of sins we commit may differ. The kinds of sins we commit in one sense may differ. But ultimately, the real root of it all is our self-will. We go our own way rather than God's. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Again, we've seen this word transgressions, we've seen this word iniquity, and he says again in verse 6, he's laid on him the iniquity of us all. The word transgressions has to do with rebellion against authority, often used with reference to stepping over a boundary. God in his authority has established his law, he's established his standard, and we transgress that law, we transgress that standard, we step over the boundary. But then this word iniquity that's used also in these verses, again, it's that word that combines our sin, our guilt, and our punishment. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord laid on him our sin. And because our sin was upon him, the Lord laid on him our guilt. And because our guilt was upon him, the Lord laid on him our punishment. These verses very emphatically teach the substitutionary death of Christ. Our sin placed upon him, and he took our guilt and punishment. And it is God that's in control. God, the Father, laid on him our sin, our guilt, our punishment. We were looking at Acts chapter 2 and verse 23 on Wednesday night. By the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, man by wicked hands crucified him. It was by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God laid our iniquities upon him. By his determinate counsel, he planned man's salvation before the foundations of the earth, and he executed his plan as he was in absolute control, but it was still wicked hands that crucified him. God's sovereignty placed alongside human responsibility. God laid on him the iniquity of us all, but it was wicked hands that crucified him. Notice in verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. The word oppressed is the word that's used with reference to a slave owner or taskmaster who beats his slave. Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, beaten as a slave for us, for you, for me, as our substitute. He took the beating that we deserved. He was afflicted, simply a word that means to inflict pain upon. And certainly as we read the accounts of our Lord's crucifixion, pain was inflicted upon him in our behalf, in our place. It was the pain that we deserved. It was the affliction that we deserved. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet we see his submission. He opened not his mouth. He opened not his mouth. The voice of the one who created the universe was silent before the creature as the creature inflicted pain upon him, as the creature beat him as a slave. He was silent. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? Speaking of his arrest and his trials, he was arrested, taken before the Sanhedrin, before the high priest, taken to Pilate, taken to Herod, back to Pilate. You know the accounts there in the Gospels. That's what verse 8 is referring to. As he was taken from prison, he was bound and taken from one judgment to another, judgment before the Sanhedrin, before Pilate, before Herod, all of which was illegal. We've talked about that in the past as we've studied those accounts in the Gospels. He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Again, that substitutionary thought, for the transgression, on account of our transgression, because of our transgression, he was cut off out of the land of the living. Perhaps a better translation there was, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgressions of my people to whom the stroke was due? It's for the transgressions of us. We deserved the stroke. We deserved the smiting. We deserved the oppression, the beating. We deserved that affliction. But he took it for us. Died in our place. Oh, can it be upon a tree? The Savior died for me. My soul is thrilled, my heart is filled to think he died for me. The substitutionary sacrifice of Jehovah's servant. That's how Christ is referred to here in Isaiah chapter 53 and earlier in chapter 52. Jehovah's servant, the substitutionary sacrifice of Jehovah's servant in our behalf, in our stead. And it is that sacrifice, that shed blood and broken body that we remember this evening around this table. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this time of remembrance. We thank you for the sacrifice that substitutionary sacrifice. We thank you, Father, that though he was in the form of God, he thought it not something to be clung to, but emptied himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Help us to examine our own hearts and lives this evening as we partake of these elements. Help us to do so in thanksgiving, but also, Father, to do so as we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mike's going to sing for us as we